right? Students, can any of you raise your hands? Can any of you think of a time when you've done something that you know your parents wouldn't like? Something you know your parents wouldn't want you to do? Raise your hands. Everybody's hand should probably be up, I would imagine. When I was in fifth grade, I got into some trouble at school a couple of times. You see, there was this girl in class who was always really, really mean. She was mean to me and mean to most of the other students in the class, too. She'd make fun of you. She'd call you names when the teacher wasn't around. She'd make things up about you and lie to others about you, tell them things that weren't true about you. And she really delighted in causing all kinds of trouble. She wasn't very nice. And one day, I had had enough. We were in the middle of class, and she had said something about me to someone sitting next to her, something that wasn't true. I don't remember now what it was, but I remember that it hurt. And in response, I called her the worst name that I could think of. It was a name, it was a bad word. It wasn't a typical bad word that you would hear these days necessarily, but it was a word that I had heard my much older brother, 7 years older than me, I had heard him say this word one time, something he had said in front of my parents, and he was immediately punished for saying it. So I had seen their reaction and witnessed the punishment he received, so I knew that whatever this word meant, well, it must be really, really, really bad. So I called her that name, I yelled it, and when I said it, the teacher heard it, the students heard it, everyone heard me say it, and because I said the word so loudly, and because the word was so bad, the girl immediately started crying. And I must admit, I was pleased with myself in that moment. Well, instantly, the teacher took me to the principal, and the principal questioned me, asking me if I even understood the word that that I had said, what the word meant. And I eventually had to admit that I didn't. I think I had other meanings, and I was way off base. As punishment, the principal told me to write a letter to my father, telling my father what I had done. Then he told me to take that letter home and to give it to my father, and to have my father read it, and to have him sign it, and then to bring it back the next day. Well, I took that letter home, but I did not show it to my father. Instead, I signed it myself. I did the best I could to copy his signature. I actually had a permission slip that was also sent home that week, and he had signed that, so I traced that. And I brought it back the next day, and I turned it in to the secretary at the school office, and guess what? It worked. I never heard about that letter again, at least I didn't hear about that letter for a couple of months until the next time that I was in trouble, the second time. And this time I was in trouble for getting into a fight. There was a brawl on the four-square court, and I was punched in the nose and was bleeding, and we all got in trouble and had to go to the principal. And this time, my dad was called into the office. Raise your hands if you've been to the principal. Oh, you guys are really honest. I didn't expect you to be so honest. So this time, my dad was called to the office too. And I'll never forget the way that meeting began when my dad was there. The principal said to my dad, "Well, as you know, this is the second time this year that David has been in trouble and been sent to me." Well, this, of course, was news to my father. And the principal reminded my dad that this couldn't be news. He had signed a letter about the first time, a month or two before, a letter that I had written and brought home. And he then opened the file that had the letter in it, and he handed my dad the letter. And I've not forgotten, and I don't think I ever will forget, my father's reaction when he read that letter, when he read what I had called the girl in my class, when he saw that I had lied, that I had signed the letter with his name and turned it in. It's the only time in my life that I can remember my father saying that he was disappointed in me. He was disappointed that I had been so hurtful with my words and the way that I treated someone else. He was disappointed that I had been so dishonest and deceptive, that I had deceived the principal as I had done. He was disappointed that I was choosing to behave in a way that wasn't in line with what he and my mother had taught me. It wasn't in line with what I had learned at home. Most of all, he was disappointed that I had been afraid to come to him and to talk to him and to, you know, let him know what I had done. It doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good when we disappoint our parents. It doesn't feel good when we disobey them or when we do those things that we know they wouldn't approve of, those things we know they wouldn't want us to do. But how does it feel when we do the opposite of that? How does it feel when we obey them, when we do what we want, what we know they want us to do, what they've taught us to do? How does it feel when we do those things that please our parents? It feels pretty good, doesn't it? Especially when we do those things because we love our parents. Not because we have to do them, not because they're making us do them, but because by doing what is good, by doing what is pleasing, by doing what they ask us to do and have taught us to do, it's a way by which we demonstrate our love for them. We love our parents by listening and obeying. We love our parents by doing what we know they would want us to do. Can you think of a time, you thought of a time when you disobeyed, can you think of a time when you've done something your parents asked you to do, a time when you've done something that you know they would want you to do? I remember that time that my dad was disappointed in me, but I also remember the times my dad said that he was proud of me. And those times when he was proudest of me were times when I was choosing on my own to do the things that he had taught me. Times when I was choosing on my own to live according to the way that he and my mom had shown me. Living according to the way that I had been raised. Treating others as they had taught me to treat others. Living out of the values that they had instilled in me. Practicing the faith that they had passed on to me, sharing with others the love of God that they had shared with me, choosing to do all the things, all of those things, because it's what I'd seen them do, right? Choosing to do those things because it's what they would do. In this morning's gospel, Jesus declares that he only seeks to do his Father's will. He only desires to do what his Father wants him to do. He only does what he has seen his Father do. What Jesus is saying is that he wants what God wants, that his will is in perfect harmony with God's will. In fact, he says that this is all that he can do. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. You see, Jesus in this gospel is being asked by the religious leaders, why did you heal this man who had been lame for 38 years? Why did you heal this man? It's a Sabbath. It's the day of rest. Why did you heal on the day when you're supposed to rest and not work? The day when you're supposed to create nothing new? And Jesus responds that he does only what his Father wills. He does only what his Father does. His Father never ceases to work, so he works. His Father, God the Father Almighty, he not only created all things, but he sustains all life. He keeps everything going. He is the source of life. So Jesus works, he heals, and he brings life to others because this is what his Father does. The Father continually gives life to all who are open to receive it, and so too does the Son. Our calling is to be in perfect harmony with Jesus, just as Jesus was in perfect harmony with his Father. We are to want what Jesus wants, to do what Jesus does, so as to become his presence to others, just as Jesus was the Father's presence to others. This means that we don't say the hurtful or hateful thing to others in our class. We don't call someone else names. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't deceive our principal. We don't deceive others. We don't get into fights on the playground. We are to be a source of life, a source of love to others, a source of God's life, a source of God's love. As Jesus witnessed to the Father, we are to witness to Jesus. This is our calling, the Lord's calling in our lives. And we can only begin to respond to it if, in the words of the gospel reading, we listen to Jesus' words. We hear the voice of the Son of God and allow that word to shape us and to mold us. When we do, then we too can begin to be life-giving in the way that Jesus was and is. May Jesus be praised now and forever.